So I thought we'd speak tonight about a shaila that in reality really could be a regular shaila. It could be a shaila that was asked, and I have had the shaila in different nuances over the years. It's a fairly common scenario. Person forgot to undo the bowl in one's refrigerator on Friday afternoon, and they come to the realization Friday night, they're about to open the fridge, they remember, uh-oh, opening up the fridge, I'm going to be turning on the light. So the reason why I want to talk about the shaila now is twofold. First of all, because the shaila really happened this past Friday night. Somebody came frantic to me a few minutes after Shkia this past Friday night as to what do you do. But to make matters more complicated, or to make matters, I guess, in a sense, more halacha l'maaseh to Inyan HaDiyoma, is that the easy solution is always have a non-Jew do it. We'll talk a little bit about why that's such a good solution, why that theoretically would be a very good solution. Unfortunately, in today's situation, Amir Liakum, there's been a lot of extra zehirus in Amir Liakum these days. Everyone's very machped because there's no goyim around. I mean, a lot of goyim around, they're just not interested in coming to your house, and you're not necessarily interested in inviting them into your house. So a lot of interesting shaylas have come up over the last couple of weeks in terms of the Shabbos and the Yontif, things that we almost traditionally would have relied on Amir Liakum for, we no longer have that option. It's not a question, then what do I do? When there's no non-Jew available for technical reasons, so what, if anything, can be done? Or when you tell the person that the imam cannot open the fridge the entire Shabbos, obviously a serious impact in the early Shabbos. Let's try to look at this again and familiarize ourselves with some of the longest.
You get two people.
Some of the things that we've been talking about on the Sunday morning Shabbat for Shabbos are going to play out here as well. And hopefully some new angles in the shadows also. So
you get two people. You get two people to open up the door and
hang in there. Okay, we got a long way to go. That may be an option. We may come up with some better options. We'll see. Okay. Good. Anyway, getting back to this. Getting back to the story. So the sugya really begins for us in the first of Mamakamas. It's a sugya in Maseches Sukkah and Daf Lama Gimel on the base. The Gemara is not talking about lights, it's not talking about refrigerators, but it's talking about a basic principle that governs the Shabbos that's going to play out over here. So the Sukkah begins, Tana Rabbana, first in Mamakamos, Ein Menat in the Yom Tov. If a person has a Hadas, which has too many berries on it, now, by the time we get our Hadas from today, all the pre-packed Hadas over the last 15 years or so, our kids never saw a berry, but in the old days, there were always berries on the Hadas. And the din is that depending on the colors of the berries, if there are too many of them, that could potentially disqualify the hadas. So the Brisa tells us that if you happen to have hadas on the first day Yom Tov and you realize, give up, it's possible too many berries, you may not pluck those berries off on Yom Tov. Why not? What's the problem? So the Gemara is going to explain that's an isser of makat patish, of fixing something. Tikkun kli, tikkun mana, that I'm fixing something that's quote unquote broken. The hadas is not usable the way it is. By plucking off the berries, I'm hereby rectifying the otherwise puzzle hadas, and that is a problem of makam epatish on Yom Tov. Whether or not that's a deraisa problem or a derabbanadika problem, makam epatish is a whole other story, not for now, but it's some kind of prohibition in terms of the Shabbos slash of Yom Tov. Nevertheless, the Gemara quotes the end of the rice, Meshum Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, Amru Mamatin. Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon permitted us to pluck the berries off. And the Gemara wants to know why. Mamatin, Makam Mesachim, want to be Yom Tov. The person is doing an aveir, he's doing a malacha. He's being a makapaz, he's fixing up the broken hadas. Rav Ashi says, no, you have to understand what Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon meant. He meant that you're plucking off the berries to eat the berries. You want to have a dessert on Sukkot, so you're making a fruit salad, so you want a couple of extra hadas berries, so you're plucking them off for the purposes of eating the berries. That's the reason why it's mutter. How is that mutter? Just because I'm intending to eat the berries, but I am also fixing the hadas. The verse is no problem. Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon savla kavur. Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon was a good son to his father. He liked his father, Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai. Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai was the famous Tana who said that there's a principle called Dabash Eidus Kavim. Namely, if I do action X, and there is a chance that action Y may result, even though action Y is a malacha, that's permissible. You're allowed to do action X, even though there's a chance action Y may happen. That's called Dover Shem Skavin. You're not planning on doing it, you're not intending on doing it, and therefore it is permissible. So now we understand why I'm allowed to pluck off the berries. Plucking off the berries is not a malacha. fixing the hadas is the halacha. But I'm not interested in, I'm not doing it to fix the hadas. I'm doing it to plop off the berries and it's okay. Yes, the Gemara not so simple. Abai and Rava, the Amish Rayu, Modi Rav Shimon Psik Reishim Lo Yomus. Abai and Rava both taught us that when does Rav Shimon say that you're allowed to do X, as long as you're not intending for Y, it's permissible? That's if there's a chance that Y may happen. But if it's certain that Y is going to happen, for sure that's a problem. What would be an example of certain that Y is going to happen? How do you know for sure that Y is going to happen? The Gemara tells us what's called a psik ratio. Imagine a person says, I'm going to cut the head of the chicken off. I don't want to kill the chicken. I just want to get the head to play with. The Gemara says, that's ridiculous. Psik ratio, lo yomos. You're going to cut the head and the chicken's not going to die. That's absurd. So the Gemara is qualifying this halacha of davar shein miskaven. When is davar shein miskaven permissible? That's when there's a chance that the malacha may occur. But if it's certain that the malacha may occur, then there's not a question. Then of course it's a problem. Maybe Rav Shimon Psik Reishis Lo Yomos. So back to the hadasim. How can I pluck off the berries? It's not a chance that the hadas is going to become kosher. It is certain that the hadas will become kosher. And so the Gemara, we're dealing with the following scenario, that the person has other hadasim available. What does that mean? So according to many, many Rishonim, what that means is as follows. True, it's a Psik Reishis, but it's what we call a Psik Reishis Delo Nichalei. He doesn't really care about why happening. True, by doing X, 100% certain why will occur, but it doesn't interest him, doesn't concern him. It's lo michalei or lo ichpaslei. He doesn't care about it. And therefore, when is a psik reisha asur? That's when I care and I want, I desire the outcome. But if I couldn't care less about the outcome, so then it could be that even though it's technically a psik reisha, such a psik reisha is permissible. Or at least such a psik reisha is only prohibited in the Rabbanan. Or at least such a psik reisha maybe is permissible in the Mokom Mitzvah. There are many, many different nuances in Rishonim, what the therefore is. Just how far was the Gemara willing to go on this psik reisha of Nichalei? But almost everybody agrees that something just gave. Something just was limited. Something just went down and wrong in terms of Aveira. A psik reisha of Nichalei is not quite a real bona fide psik reisha. So let's just summarize for a moment the principles that just emanated from this sugya. Again, this sugya is talking about the intricacies of plucking berries and hadas. That's not today's sugya. But what we want to do is extract the principles and begin to plug them in into our shaila. So number one, we were introduced to the principle of davar shein miskaven. When you do X and there's a chance of Y happening, so it's okay. It's Rabbi Shimon. We possibly agree with Shimon. The plus Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Shimon. Number two, that principle of davar shein miskaven does not apply when it's a psik reisha, when it's certain. And number three, even when it is certain, but the outcome isn't particularly desired, then it's not so bad. Maybe mutta totally, or maybe a low level is certain, but it's not so bad. So three chidushim from the sugya. Davar shein miskaven permissible. Psik reisha, very serious problem. Psik reisha lo michalei, significantly less of a problem. So now let's begin to apply these principles to our scenario of opening up the refrigerator. A person wants to open up the refrigerator door. Opening up the door of a refrigerator per se is a davar mutter. It's not one of the lamates v'lach, it's just to open the door. So opening up the refrigerator door is like opening the door to the front of my house. So that per se is X. That's a ma'isa that's permissible. Problem is, there is a malacha that is going to happen. What is that malacha? The light is going to turn on. So what is that action called? Is that action that I'm doing, opening up a refrigerator, turning on a light in the process, is that a davar shein miskaven? Is that a psik reisha? And if it's a psik reisha, what kind of a psik reisha is it? Is it nichalei? Is it lo nichalei? So let's analyze it. So one thing I can tell you that it's not a davar shein miskaven. And I'll tell you why. Because I know for certain this light is going on. It's not a suffix. It's not like Rabbi Shimon's original case of that I drag a chair and there's a 50-50 chance whether a hole is going to be made in the ground. That's davar shein miskaven. That's not at all what's happening over here. Here I am, I'm opening the refrigerator door, knowing full well that's going to trigger the opening up of a light. So that is not a davar shein miskaven. I cannot hide behind davar shein miskaven. So I entered into the category of psik reisha, but I am not yet sure, is this a psik reisha de nichalei or psik reisha de lo nichalei? So at first glance, a person would say, what do you mean? What's the nichalei? Who cares whether the light's on? What do you mean, who cares? You care. Most people like lights in the refrigerator. Now, many of us may not have lights in the refrigerator, myself included, because when we first bought the refrigerator, I took it out the first day because I don't want to be the one stuck with a light on it Friday night. But if in a perfect world, if everyone would actually remember to turn off the light, so it's a good thing to have a light in the refrigerator. It helps you actually find things in the refrigerator. It may be a better idea these days not to find some of the things in the refrigerator. All of us probably could use a little bit more exercise these days. You know, hanging around the house, closer to the refrigerator than we are around the office, out to work. But upon him, having a light on is a good thing. So the chor is a segregation rechalim. Yeah, Jack, I know you can ask me, but I'm going to let you ask me anyway. Yeah.
Are you differentiating between the, whether it's a drabonon or d'oraisa, in terms of the turning on of the bulb, in terms of what type of bulb?
Okay. So I was down to the kafcheva because I thought you were going to ask that question, but it's a good question. We're going to get that question in a few minutes. But right now, I'm not yet differentiating. But I thought you were going to ask me as follows. Who are you kidding?
Rabbi, what about the lo echbatle? Well,
so the evidence is, according to most Rishonim, lo echbatle and lo echbatle are synonymous. As long as they don't want it, that would be okay. But the question is, what is this? Is this nichale or echbatle/lo nichale? So I thought you were going to ask me as follows. What do you mean it's nichale? I'm a firm guy. I don't want to be Michal Shabbos. I don't want to turn on a light on Shabbos. So what do you mean it's nichale? So that's almost like a circular reason. That's like a, you can spend the rest of your life getting around that. Why? Because if you're going to tell me that that's called onichale because I don't want to be Michal Shabbos, so then you're letting me turn on the light. So now I'm happy that the light's on. The minute that I'm happy that the light's on, then it turns out that we're just Michal Shabbos. So you keep on going around in circles. So the post can point out that to be conveyed, to establish whether something is nichale or lo nichale, you don't ask a firm guy who doesn't want to be Michal Shabbos. You have to ask a guy on a Tuesday. On a regular Tuesday, tachlis, would you like a light on your fridge? And the answer is, yeah, of course I'd like it. Whether I personally bother to have one is a different story. But of course it's better to have a light on the fridge. What do you think they make lights in the refrigerator? If people didn't want it, then they wouldn't bother wasting time making it. We wouldn't have a shift tonight if there were no lights in refrigerators. Of course people want lights in refrigerators. So b'chaura, this seems to be almost the worst scenario, the worst case possible of segregation. This is a segregation of the nichalei. And b'chaura, we are in serious trouble. The question is, well, how serious trouble are we in? Are we in d'oraisa nika trouble? Are we in d'rabbanan nika trouble? Just how far of a problem do we have? Now, at first glance, why should that make a difference to us? After all, we observe all the dinim. We observe dinim d'oraisa, we observe dinim d'rabbanan. So what's the difference whether we're dealing with a d'oraisa nika problem or we're dealing with a d'rabbanan nika problem? So the chor is going to make a difference in the following. But first, before we get to what the difference is, what is the answer? Is this a deraisa? Is this a derabonin? So here it gets a little bit tricky. So the principle of segregation per se is a deraisa problem. If it would really be a segregation of nichle, which it appears to be, we would be dealing with the Torah prohibition. But there is reason to believe that, just in terms of the mic, I know sometimes the mics end up getting unmuted. So if everyone's just, once again, just check that everyone is muted. When I do it, I still give you the option to unmute it. So it just makes a lot of noise. So everyone can just double check on their screens that they're muted. Okay. So are we dealing with the rice and the rabban? So there may be reason to believe that we're dealing with the rabban here because of the type of the device, the type of the light that we're talking about. Now this is not time now for a whole elaborate discussion about electricity and different kinds of lights, different devices on Shabbos. Suffice it to say that old style bulbs, the good old style, old fashioned incandescent bulbs with a filament glowing inside, the consensus view of the poskim is that is a melacha d'oraisa of havara. That's a real bona fide melacha d'oraisa. Any other kind of a light that's not something literally glowing inside it is very questionable whether it's also d'oraisa or also d'rabbanan. I'm in no shape or form advocating turning on lights in Shabbos. I'm just saying that it's not 100% clear if it's a melacha d'oraisa or perhaps it is a d'rabbanan. And if it's a deraisa, I'm not even sure quite which halacha it is. There's a bonus, a matpatish, etc. So there's a lot of uncertainty once we're dealing with other kinds of lights, which most probably we are dealing with in these refrigerator lights. Since there are very, very few old-style lights floating around these days, we can probably assume that any light in our refrigerators these days is probably going to only be or very possibly only going to be a derabbanan b'galayit, at least according to some. If that's the case, if we can somehow knock this down from minyan d'oraisa into minyan d'rabbanan, that would make life much, much easier for us in the following sense. Because if something is only a derabbanan, doesn't mean it's mutter to violate derabbanans, but whenever we hear that something is only derabbanan, then the wheels start to turn, and the possibility of asking a non-Jew to assist us, at least theoretically asking a non-Jew, always becomes an option based on the following. We take a look at the second of the Maamar Kamos. The Shulchan Aruch quotes, "Dabar she'eino malacha, ve'eino asa lasas b'shabas al b'shem shavuos." Something that is not a malacha d'oraisa, it is only a derabbanan. Mutar liYisrael lomar la'ein Yehudi lasas b'shabas. You are permitted to ask a non-Jew to do a derabbanan for you on Shabbos. If there's some concern, somebody is sick, and again, obviously not deathly ill, even if it's less, much less than that, one would be permitted to ask a non-Jew to violate what would otherwise be a derabbanan. If there's some kind of a makom mitzvah involved, some kind of a big tzarich involved, the Shulchan Aruch goes on to delineate a few examples of this. And then the Shulchan Aruch writes, Yeshal, so not everyone agrees, but I'm minig is lahakim. Mishnah posts the later post, and that's that we are very lenient about this. Whenever we have some kind of a great tzorech, whether it's a makom tzar, makom kwaze chayla, makom mitzvah, maybe even have some neruba, things of that nature, and what's involved is only a derabbanan, and I'm not going to do the derabbanan myself. I'm going to ask the non-Jew to do the derabbanan. So that is significantly more lenient than halacha, and therefore makom mitzvah would be mutter. So I think based on that alone, under normal circumstances, I would tell this person to simply ask a non-Jew that a merely akam would be mutter on the rabbanan. It's clearly a makom mitzvah. The person needs a Shabbos food. The clearly a makom mitzvah. Well, is that a nik Shabbos? So I think it would be outright permissible. Actually, you know, this Shiloh presented to me last Friday night, it was even more lenient because the Shiloh happened literally about 5 minutes after a shkia. So we were just standing on our porch singing Yedid Nefesh. And we just finished singing, and then we walked to the house, and boom, somebody was, I already saw somebody running up to the house. So we spoke from our distance, kind of passing the shadow from afar, but it was Ben Ashmashos. So under normal circumstances, Ben Ashmashos, you can even ask a non-Jew to do their Isa for you. So it would have been very, very easy to rely on a Miliako, either because it's a Derabonim most probably, a Miliako and a Derabonim is probably okay. And another reason was Ben Ashmashos, and another possible reason was, is that it was an Amir Liakam on a Psik Resha. So according to many poskim, to ask a non-Jew to do a Psik Resha for you is really not so bad. Because if you think about it, I'm not asking the non-Jew to do malacha. When I knock on the non-Jew's door in normal times and I say, please open the refrigerator door for me, I'm not telling him to turn on the light. I'm not asking, I'm not doing Amira la malacha. I'm doing Amira on something that's mutter. Ella Ilchas Psik Resha kicks in and says, that it's ke'ilu, when I do open up the door, it's as if I'm turning on the light. But that's not what I asked the non-Jew to do. So there would be other grounds for hakam. That's already a little bit more doctrinal, a little bit more technical, a little more complicated. Whether that last akuna is 100% accurate or not, there are some factors that may question what I just said. But suffice it to say, if there was a non-Jew around, I really would not have hesitated for a second. Tell the fellow, just ask the non-Jewish neighbor, even outright, you don't even need a remez. And Mikra then would be mutter based on a whole series of different kulas. The problem, of course, was that the many non-Jews around except one were available.
Would one be able to tell the non-Jew to just take out the light bulb for and only to, like, let's say so he knows the Jews.
That may also be a good idea, because if it's only a derabbanan, let's say unscrew the light bulb is probably also only a derabbanan, that's the case. So, again, assuming that's true, so then there would also be makom mitzvah, because otherwise, every time we have to ask the non-Jew tonight and tomorrow, 15 times a day, we'll knock on the door, that would also interfere with the makom mitzvah. So maybe that would probably be a good answer. The problem is, the bottom line is there's no non-Jew. There's no non-Jew who would get me comfortable. No one's knocking anybody's doors, and no non-Jews would come into our houses. With all the precautions that we're taking these days, that's not happening. So we're not inviting strangers into our house to undo refrigerators for us. So what options are available? So I started to think for a moment, and I asked the fellow who asked me the Shaila, I asked him, how old is your youngest child? Now, those who know me know, I would never ask that question because we are very, very careful about this, not to do malachas, I need children on Shabbos. That's usually a disaster. To ask a child to do something for you that's also on Shabbos is a disaster on two fronts. First of all, it's a very serious halachic problem. It's as bad as the Aseret HaDibros. The Chazal tell us, Bimcha Vitecha does not mean you're a 20-year-old. It means you're under Bar Mitzvah son. It means you're under Bas Mitzvah girl. That's Bimcha Vitecha. You're not allowed to ask a child to turn on lights for you. You're not allowed to ask a child to cook for you. You're not allowed to ask a child to do malachas. That's out of the question. It's a terrible breach of Chil Shabbos. Number two, it's terrible chinuch. Besides the pure halachic problem, it's terrible chinuch. Tell your child that, but I can't do it, but you can do it for me. That's not good. That we don't want to know what that's going to bring down the line. So l'chura, we're checkmate. We can't do it ourselves. It's a segregation of the nichalei, the shabbat deraisa, the shabbat deravon. We can't do it ourselves. The goyim are not available to help us. The children are not an option. What do you do? So let's think for a moment. Maybe we shouldn't dismiss that child option so quickly. Let's take a look at the third of the ramakamas. The Shulchan Aruch in Siman Shin Mem Gimel said, Aleph quotes, Chotan Echol Nevelas, Ein Beizim Etzum Lafrishayim. It is a child who's eating treif on his own. I didn't feed him the treif. He's eating treif the food. I see him eating treif food. I don't have to stop him. About Aviv Mitzuma Liga Bo Lafrishayim. But if it's my child, then I have an obligation of chinuch. So the Shulchan Aruch is quoting, this is a big machlokes in Rishonim, not for now, the details of this. But there are many Rishonim who maintain that chinuch only applies to my own children, not applies to somebody else's child. If I'm walking by and I see a child doing something that's also, technically speaking, it's not my obligation. Whether I should or should not, maybe I should say something, maybe I should say something to the parent. It's a different hashkafa story. But in terms of the pure world of Allah, many Mishnah hold there's no mitzvah chinuch on that. And others disagree. Others say, no, that if the child is a yield of chinuch, then I have to look to see even if it's somebody else's child. But one thing is absolutely also, says the Shulchan Aruch, we take a look at the second line, that say, but to actively cause him to do an aveira. Also, a full dvar shasum to be safer, that is prohibited even for the Israel bound to only the Rabbana. Also, the Hagila, the Chil Shabbos, and Mayim, and a full dvar shasum to be safer. But under no circumstances can I feed, or encourage, or convince, or try to convince a child to do an Isser on Shabbos or Yom Tov, whether it's an Isser deraisa or an Isser Rabbana is out of the question. In no shape or form am I committed to try to encourage a child to do something that's also for me, even if that isser is only an isser derabbanan. But not so simple. If you take a look at the fourth of the Ramakomos, the Bir Halacha, the Mishnah Berurah on the bottom, the fourth of the Ramakomos, quotes that statement of the Shulchan Aruch, that this isser of encouraging a child to do malachas for me includes even isser derabbanan that are out of the question. That is true that the Rambam says that, that's why the Shulchan Aruch quotes it, but not everyone agrees. The Das HaRashba V'Haran, the Matina Tzorach L'Kach Mutter, Afil Lispas Lo B'Yadayim Davashu Asa B'Drabonon. Both the Rashba and the Ran are of the opinion that if it's for the benefit of the child also wants this item, so then it would be permissive to actually feed him something treif B'Yadayim, as long as it's not treif B'Natur. If it's an Asa, it's a Deraisa, then the game's over, then it's Asa B'Natur, forget. But if you have there are two factors in your favor. Number one, it's only an Issa D'Rabbanan. And number two, it's only an Issa D'Rabbanan. And it's only a child. So then, add three factors. I'm sorry, if a child, an Issa D'Rabbanan, and if the Tzerech Atina, the child needs it for his own care, then it's permissible. That's the view of the Rashba and the Rab. Acha v'chabes also v'dinik v'nasa chokim alayim. Nevertheless, the Shulchan Aruch does not mention his view. He takes the stricter approach. The Eishu b'chol gavnei, the Shulchan Aruch paskins, that to ask a child to do a derabbanan view is out of the question under all circumstances. So it sounds like we're done. Shulchan Aruch paskin against the Rashi and the Ran, not so fast. Because of the Chumash of the Nerekiva Eger, al das tiltul asfram the day sekneses, machem shein erum aide kitimek. Rabbi Kilegi was asked to shayel a maisa, can I have a child carry a siddur from the camp? He asked a child to carry a chumash to me to shul. There no siddur, no chumash from shul, or going somewhere else to daven. Can I have a child carry it on my behalf? There's no erum. Can I not? Now, there's no Erev, means you're not allowed to carry, but it doesn't at all mean you're not allowed to carry deraisa. In order to be prohibited to carry deraisa, a lot of conditions have to be met that are very unlikely to be met in a standard, regular town. In fact, the very building of Erevin that we do today, we build Erevin based on certain halakhic principles, the Tirsa Pesach, putting up poles and wires, and the entire institution of our communal kinds of Erevin that we build today all predicated on the assumption that there's no deraisa here anyway for a variety of reasons. If it would be deraisa, then our whole system of Eruv would break down. So small town or Kvek is living in small area, small Jewish neighborhood, even if there's no Eruv, the issue involved is probably only derabbanan anyway. Therefore, Kvek says, if there's no Eruv and you have a child, are you allowed a yesh lismach bezel rashba? The yisad derabbanan is if you live here die. So the yisad Kvek, it's only derabbanan anyway. And it's a child, maybe we could rely on the Rashba and the Ran. Kvegi said, no, you can't. Heshiv is a night. Because even the Ran and the Rashba wouldn't agree. The Ran calls a prayer called Kisvil Hedrin, after Rashba, Safin and Lerak, the Tzorcho, the Lola Tzorchenu. Says the Kvegi, if you look carefully at the Rashba and the Ran, who was so lenient, that you could feed the Rabbanan, you could encourage the Rabbanan to a child, that's the Tzorch HaKot, but not the Tzorch HaGodol. The Tzorch HaGodol, there was never such a kula. The whole leniency was only to enhance the tzorachim of the kot and not for our tzorachim. And therefore, Kivay says, we have to stop it. It can't be. So says Rabbi Kivay, there's no way, presumably, to have the child carry the chumash for you. Forget it out of the question, even according to the Mekina. But, says Rabbi Kivay, the following kula. V'yesh takona. Liten latino chumash v'sidur sheyisa lebeis teknesos tzorach atzmai lispal l'shma kriyas ha-toyra. I should give the siddur and the chumash to the child and say to the child, you use it for yourself. You have to daven, you have to hear leining. Once they're carrying it for themselves, it's not a godly one, it's bal yachad. Once the child is carrying it for themselves, which again, it's only the rabbanan, under the age of Baba Smitzvah, it's the tzorach atino, because the child has also has to daven, so has to hear leining. So once the child is doing it, why can't I join? Can I look along? Once he brings it to shul, I can't daven from his sitter. I can't look over his shoulder and listen to Kriyas HaTorah. I can do it also. Because once it was done, the Tzorech HaTino, then the Godel could piggyback literally on the Malacha, on the Yisra, not really Malacha, the Yisra Derabana was done by the child. So this is the breakthrough of Rav Kivay. And Rav Kivay says that maybe we can relate on this, even though the Shulchan Aruch is Ma'achmir, the big Shas Adchach, guys, not going to have a sitter to daven, the big Shas Adchach. So what Kivay seems to be saying is that under normal circumstances, we should follow the Shulchan Aruch. We should not be encouraging our children to do anything. To do the Araises is always awesome. To do the Rabbanan, the Tzorcheinu for our needs is always awesome. But to do it the Rabbanan, Ayedei, a Tinoch, if it's the Tzorach HaTinoch, and we're going to piggyback along, the Ikra Din is a big, big machlok. Yes, according to Shulchan Aruch, it's awesome, but according to the Rashba and the Rav, it's mutter. Says Rabbi Kivay, if you have to daven, you have to lay. What are you going to do? So yesh lo hokel like the Rashba. So the theory is daiti. That's what I told this fellow on Friday night. I think we can apply this with the Kinegu in the case of the refrigerator as well. The child's also hungry. If that refrigerator does get open, not only the parents not eating supper tonight, the kids not eating supper either. You can tell your little child, open up the refrigerator, even though by doing so, that child is turning on a light. Now, I don't know if there's such terrible chinuch here, because I don't even think the kid realizes that he's turning on the light. He's never going to remember. He doesn't even understand what's going on. So one could argue that it's only the Rabbanan here, assuming that this particular light isn't the Rabbanan light. We're working with that assumption that the light here is only the Rabbanan. Yeah, it's questionable, but we're going to be making like that. Many goes another way. So if this light is only the Rabbanan light, so then what in effect we're doing is we're requesting a child to do an issa the Rabbanan with so rechu, tzorach tino. He needs supper tonight also. If that refrigerator door does get open, he's not going to have food to eat tonight. Once that door is opened by the Dino, guess what? I can piggyback along the way. I can eat it. Once the door's open already, I have to close it and slam it once he takes his food out. Once it's open. And now I can eat the food as well. And now it comes time to close that refrigerator. That's also a Tzorech HaTino. Why? If you don't close the refrigerator, you leave the door open the whole night, the food's going to spoil. His milk in the fridge is going to be spoiled by the next morning. So the child, the Tzorech Atzmai, has to close the light. I give out, he's doing a terrible listener by closing the light on Shabbos. It's going to be Rabban anyway. It's the kind of light that's buying out of their eyes. It's on a keyboard, not the end of the world. And then tomorrow morning when the child wants to eat, so good, we can piggyback on the child based on the Kivay. So Lefini is Daiti. Under normal circumstances, I wouldn't have gone down this route at all. I would have just had a goy come into the house. It's a really awkward situation. It's been a shvashos and a shvustashus makom mitzvah. For a million reasons why it would have been good, that would have been the absolute best option. But tachlis, in today's times, you can't have the non-Jew walk into the house. Therefore, lays brayer, you have to be a little bit more creative. You have to come up with another possible kula. So again, this kula depends on a lot of things. It's not a portion. It depends on this Shulchan Aruch Mikveh and the Rashi and the Rav and the Rambam. It depends on the assumption that the lights and the Rabban, a couple of pieces of the puzzle have to go be collected together. But sometimes you have a Shasar Chach, it's a pretty big Shasar Chach. They can't eat any food, they have to starve on Shabbos. So not so simple. We don't even have the options of they're going to start to move food somewhere else, and you get food from another neighbor, and no one's going to anybody's houses. All the regular options of helping people out don't exist, as much as that. It's in a certain sense, each family for themselves under these kinds of circumstances. And therefore, I think that the Ikonik Radin, we can rely on, we can make a Shasat Ha, and rely on the Rash and the Ran, combined with the fact that it's only the Rabbani in the first place. So, and I don't think it's a step of Chimach are all together because the child doesn't even understand what's going on. So, the feeling is that Yeshmach on the Hokel, the Shasat Ha.
Is there any benefit to having Latino do it Kelach Ariyad if he can?
It's always, whenever you throw in Kelach Ariyad, it's always make things into maybe that would make it even a more durable. I'll tell you the truth, I'm not sure this 5-year-old, and we have to experiment with your own 5-year-olds, those who have little kids in the house. You gotta get your 5-year-old to open the refrigerator Kelach Ariyad, and I'm not so sure it's gonna work. You gotta get them to stick there. I'm not sure I can get a refrigerator to open Kelach Ariyad. So if you could, not that it's always better to do Kelach Ariyad. But I'm not sure it's gonna. We don't have to pull off that stuff.
And my other question was that, so like our fridge has a button that you push on the outside to turn on Shabbos mode. Would it be better to have a Tinoch turn it on to Shabbos mode?
Oh, so that's a question. So they asked me also, is it better to have the Tinoch? Maybe I think I'm fucked. You know, screw out the light, whatever it was. So I'll tell you the truth. From a pure halakha point of view, maybe yes. I was a little bit more weary from a chinuch point of view because. You know, it's one thing, if you ask your 5-year-old kid, but he opens up a refrigerator, the light goes on, he probably doesn't even realize, it's a chop that he turned on the light. So I don't think he's going to walk away with this feeling like he was Michal Shabbos. Whereas if you start telling him, push the button, then, well, why are you pushing the button? Because it's Shabbos, but you can push the button. You know, you can climb inside the refrigerator and unplug the button that Abanima can't do. I don't know. I have a feeling that this kid's going to grow up later and think, hey, wait a second. That's exactly what we're concerned with. We don't want to work with Asla Mishrach. You have to kind of know balance the chinuch perspective with what would be pure, better in terms of halacha. But again, the thing is that I think the answer that I suggest that it would be the ikar din mutter. So therefore, I was willing to go down that route and not get too complicated the chinuch. Okay.
What is the latest age? What's the oldest a kid could be halachically to do it for you?
So it's a little bit strange because you get the impression in the Shulchan Aruch that even the mekilim would stop once the kid is a gil chinuch. The problem is, when Kivegas clearly talk about a kid, he's talking about a kid who's dominating already. Well, a kid already, he's already holding the Kriya Sotar in the kid. How if I, a 12-year-old, should be listening to Kriya Sotar? How if I, somebody older than that 12-year-old, how much should listen to Kriya Sotar? So Kivegas is discussing a child who seems to know what's going on. He's sophisticated enough, he's old, mature enough to dominate and to follow the Chumash. So Kivegas still isn't willing to turn the other way on this. I don't know, I'm not sure. I told the person to go for the youngest child in the family. The youngest was a 5-year-old, so they go for the 5-year-old. I'm not sure.
If there's no katan, what is the rough feel about opening the door with your eyes closed so it's a secretion to Nichalei?
Oh, so that's another way. So there's some who in Bishasa, you have to keep your eyes closed the whole time. It means whenever you take all the food you're taking out, you may end up with half the food on the floor at that point. But in Achana, there are some who are making, like some post can say Bishasa, you find yourself in a place where you know that, I'm going to say, you're going down a stairway in a building, you didn't realize before Shabbos, now you realize that the minute you open the door, the light's going to go on. So if there's light coming from the windows or from other places, then maybe you could argue that it's a situation on Nichalei, you know, a little bit more grounds to be making. But if it's pitch black in the stairway and you're opening up the door and it's turning on the lights, it's very hard to call that a situation on Nichalei. You don't want to turn on the stairs. So some folks can have that Eitza, should walk down the stairs very, very carefully, very slowly with your eyes closed. But then it's not Nichalei. I guess that would be like an absolute, you know, worst case scenario. They have to rely on something like that. Because that would be very, very clumsy and a little bit on the clumsy end. So we try to stay away from that. But yeah, there, maybe there are other possible creative solutions as well. Okay. All right. We should have a good night. And let's Hashem, we should stay well. And hopefully we'll be able to get back together next month. Okay.
Shkoyach.
Thank you.